It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah! All right, here we go. Friday. Fun. Danny, you better be having fun. Griffin, you're having fun. World Series Game 1. Going to start off here with the Yankees and Dodgers. Griffin, are you having fun? We care about you, buddy.
Always. How can it not be?
The enthusiasm. It blows out the speakers, doesn't it?
Yeah. I have to ask Mateo to turn my volume down. It's ridiculous.
I'm a soft-spoken
Griffin, you are going. Yeah, no, you're not. You are going to the game tonight, right? The UNLV game?
I will be there, yes. Cannot miss this one.
All right.
Okay.
I'll save a seat for you, buddy.
Please do.
There you go. Record turnout for Lotus Broadcasting. It's a big game. That means all the big wigs come out. Boise State. We got the latest line update? Come on, let's get on that. I thought this line was a little bit short. I don't hesitate in saying that. This is a hell of a Boise State team with an elite star in Ashton Gentry. I think an all-timer. Certainly in the conference. It's up to four now.
I see a five, too.
Woo! Is that right?
Yeah.
I figured a lot of Boise money was going to come in, and my guess is from here forward there's going to be some sharp money coming back.
Are you surprised that the total is dropping?
I don't know. I
went from 66.5 down to 64, so dropped a field goal.
I guess the attitude would be that Gentry is going to go way past his over of 188.5 rushing yards, and maybe Boise can get out to a lead, then control the clock, and a lot of points won't be put on the board. But both teams are so efficient at scoring. They're averaging like 93, 94 combined per game. I think it has a chance to go back and forth. And I'm not an over better.
I took the over.
Well, then you might want to rebet it, right? What'd you get it at?
65.
Okay, there you go.
So I'm only a half point off. I'm all right.
So four. Danny's saying he's seen a five. So pretty crazy action. Kickoff is still 2.5 hours away, and we'll have the pregame in about 90 minutes right here on ESPN Las Vegas. Did you read some of the notes about the Boise fans coming into town? You mentioned B.J. Raines, who does a Boise-centric show. He's in Boise, but he does it on YouTube and gets some local radio and local TV pops as well. He said a Southwest flight coming down.
Yeah.
The flight attendant was like, hey, anyone with any UNLV fans wearing UNLV stuff, get a free drink. And then I guess the whole plane erupted in booze.
That's what it sounds like.
I thought to myself, when they landed, why are the air marshals not going on that plane and tasing everyone? Let's go. It's like a terrorist flight. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of them down here. We want your money.
A ton of them.
We want your money. And you know what? If you lose, because I know Circa is a big hotspot for the Boise fans, make sure you drink up and leave lots of money on the table.
Absolutely. Leave all your money.
Help
go home
the economy.
Broke.
Yeah, leave all your money. Or come here to Treasure Island, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. I know a lot of the, from talking to some of the media people up there, a lot of the Boise fans are coming down. They might spend the whole weekend, get a chance to go to the Chiefs game. And I was trying to give them some advice to different shows to go to. I was going to make a reference. You're not even going to get it. It's too old. Some older artists, but I gave them some advice. We'll see if they show out and show up tomorrow downtown and on the strip at some of the shows. Earlier in the day, again, this could be a record attendance for UNLV in the building.
I think it will be.
They can probably eclipse, I'll say, 33,000. I think people would like to see them go across 40,000.
I demand 35,000. Get out there.
Secondary market downstairs, I didn't see anything lower than $99 a pop. And 50-yard line, tickets are between $200 and $300. So
that's not bad.
Not exactly. Not astronomical. Now, there are some UNLV fans who will gripe about that.
Yes.
This is a good thing.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
And if you want one, the attendance needs to be robust the rest of the way. Barry Odom is going to have people calling him for other jobs every year that he's here at UNLV. And I got to tell you, one of the worst parts, at least viewing it from the outside over the, whatever, 28 years I've been here, I think recently, let's say the last 15 or so, I think one of the worst parts about the men's basketball and football job is constantly having to do some of the marketing. Like, that really should not be your responsibility as a coach. And that could be wearing it at other schools. They don't have to do that.
No. It's either already built in or there's somebody else doing it.
So we'll see what the turnout's like. It seems like it's a big demand ticket right now, and I'm hoping, I'd like to see a big crowd. It just makes the game more entertaining. That Syracuse turnout was great. And I think you referenced a big roar in the first half like you never heard at a UNLV game. I think it might not have been the first half. I think that was the game with the scoop and score by Ricky White, wasn't it? Or was that the Utah Tech game? I think there was a block.
No, Utah Tech, he blocked it. I believe Syracuse was the one that he blocked it. Somebody else got the touchdown, but that was also the one that Ricky White got to the punter so fast that he couldn't even kick the ball.
Stopped.
Yeah.
He's got three block punts and then two others where the punter was like, yeah, I got nothing. I can't get the ball off, so I'm just going to run.
And a touchdown return.
Yep.
The guy is phenomenal.
He's an awesome player.
Tonight I want two block punts.
Right? You know, the funny thing is, after he blocked the first one, he's like, I'll get some more. And you're like, okay, bro, calm down a little bit here. He might finish with two more, three more. Who knows?
Oh, absolutely.
And tonight would be massive. And if he doesn't get the block, as we were talking earlier in the show and probably off the air, Jacob DeJesus now getting the benefit when he's back for punt return of extra help in there to try to keep Ricky White. And Rashad Tanner's a guy who comes out the middle a lot of times. That can only help DeJesus. All right, NFL. We're going to talk to Soren Petro from WHB in Kansas City, get the Chiefs angle on the Raiders game, the rivalry, some of the bulletin board material, and then we'll close out the hour with leans and likes, a lot of college, a lot of NFL, with our eye on sports gambling pushed back a little bit with Kenny White. So the numbers the last few weeks, Danny, and I know you like to bet, and Danny's here tomorrow giving advice at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar with the Throw the Flag show with Jared. Road favorites are generally not good bets.
No.
You know, you give me a chance to get a home dog at 3, 3.5 or bigger, I'm going home dog. That ain't working out right now. Road favorites since the start of week 5 are 16-2 against the spread. Jets and Chargers, only failures.
And now 16-3.
That's a good point.
Yep. Vikings last night.
Updated number. All right, so does that mean the trend is over? Because we've got Ravens 8.5 against the Browns to look at. If you have updated numbers, give them to me. Falcons 2.5 bucks. Bills 3. Seahawks. Bears 3 against the Commies. Washington. And Chiefs 9.5 against the Raiders.
So it looks like Ravens in some spot is up to 9.
Back to 9, okay.
And then you got Falcons. Nope, still the same. Bills are still the same at 3. And Bears, they're 3 as well. So the only one that's changed is Ravens a half point. I mean,
it's not in my fabric, which is why I'm a losing better, because I don't adjust quickly enough. At least 3 of those 5 I named, I would take the dog. I would take the home dog.
Would you like to say which 3?
Yeah, of course. I would take the Bucks, the Seahawks, and I'm going to do a sort of a proactive rather than a reactive bet, and it may blow up in my face, but I also believe in the other scenario. The Commies getting 3 with Jalen Daniels questionable, but news coming in that he may be able to play. But with that, even with Mariota, I would take the Commanders against the Bears getting points.
I like Commanders. I know there's
somebody. Objective? You're an area guy. You're a DC area guy.
I am.
Okay. I'm kidding. You're objective. You're betting money. You're objective.
Yes. And I also, I don't like Washington because I'm a Cowboys fan, but I do like Washington in this game. And I know there's somebody on the show currently that is going to be upset with us, but it doesn't matter. go ahead,
sorry,
Griffin.
Sorry, bro.
Oh, I was gonna let you finish.
It's not rooting time.
I was gonna let you finish, but I'll just tell you that's rich coming from a Cowboy fan. Rich.
Hey, I'm not against betting against my own team either.
I don't know.
Would you like to make a bet? Me on the Commies, you on the Bears, and I'll go straight up bet.
I'll go straight up bet.
Okay. If I win, I would like an Italian beef sandwich on you.
Ooh. Ooh.
Do I need to get you a deep dish, which is much more expensive than the Italian beef?
I'll take a Bobby from a good old Capriati's.
Wait a second. Well, first of all, nice job on the sponsor there. Really? Okay. Okay. So Bobby against an Italian beef.
Bet on it.
Let's do it. Only the highest stakes. By the way, the Ion Sports Gambling is brought to you by our friends at Oasis Bar and Grill, Decatur South of Trop. Tonight's dinner special, the shrimp tacos. That is another cool spot. This is a great spot. A little further north of Allegiant to pregame, or if you're going to watch the game, come on down here to TI. But Oasis, pretty close to the stadium. You could pregame, postgame there. And with our friend Johnny, who, of course, hosts their great Monday Night Football party with Johnny and the Monday Night Maniacs. Was there another dog you like, or do you like the Ravens as a favorite in this against the Browns? Are the Browns just hapless and done?
I don't know. I'm curious to see what Jameis Winston's going to do. Exactly. I mean, he could make things so entertaining for a team that has looked absolutely atrocious. So I think he could cover 9. I mean, I'm definitely not saying win, but he could cover 9. One of the ones that you mentioned that I kind of want to push back on, you like Buccaneers.
It's not like a super like.
Right. But even with all the banged up and just lost their top two receivers, Cade Otton is now their number one. Had a phenomenal game on Monday.
I think the Falcons are just okay. I don't know if they're in a position to be laying points.
I took Falcons to win the South.
Oh, to win the South recently?
Yeah. No, I took it the day before the Kirk Cousins news. So I got them at like plus 150-ish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Might be a good one. All right, Dodgers-Yankees about to start up. 4-3 right now with the Senators here in town on Nevada Day, third period. VGK is losing 4-3. We'll get back to more NFL Chiefs and Raiders breakdown with Soren Petro is on the way as we're live. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar on a Friday, our Friday home, Treasure Island.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
Big rivalry. Soren Petro is in to get us ready for the Chiefs and the Raiders. I don't know how big it is anymore. The Raiders are fired up for the game. I think the Chiefs are as well. Soren, do we need to start out talking about Puppetgate and I'm here?
I don't know that we need to, but it is a topic here. The media has reminded everybody at every media session about it. The Chiefs have always taken the high road. I remember Patrick Mahomes when it came out, when that happened back in training camp, he said, it'll get handled when it gets handled, and people kind of took that to mean, well, it's going to get handled, right? He's aware of it. I've talked to some folks, Jeff Chedia from NFL Network. I do my Red, Gold, and Bold podcast with, we talked about it on our latest edition on that. And he's like, listen, that's not at this point in his career. He's not motivated by that. I disagree with that wholeheartedly. Jeff makes a good point. Maybe it is different now that he's got two MVPs and three Super Bowl championships, but we're talking about a guy that after he went for, I don't know if it was after his 5,050 or if it was after he won the Super Bowl. It might've been after he won the Super Bowl and the numbers weren't as gaudy, but they voted, the players voted Lamar Jackson the number one player in the league and he was number four. They went in, they beat the Ravens. When they got up, had them down double digits, he famously counted 1, 2, 3, 4 and looked kind of like, what is this? Clearly saying, I'm fourth best. I am sticking it to Lamar Jackson. He played Mitchell Trubisky, who went number two overall, the only quarterback to go in front of him. He went 10th. He was pummeling the Bears, and he counted out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 on his fingers, right? There is a little bit of a – I think he may be the most ruthless competitor since Michael Jordan, and I don't know that he makes things up for guys to motivate him, but I think he uses everything he can to motivate himself. And so, yeah, I think it's – I disagree with Jeff Chedia. I think it's front and center in his mind.
Wow.
I think it will – I don't think it'll distract him. Maybe it will. Maybe we'll say something different after this. I think it will focus him, and I think it focuses the whole team. And so, yeah, I don't think it was the best decision by Antonio Pierce in an offseason.
Well, it was a fan who brought it to a training camp practice. It was a seventh rounder from Air Force who didn't know.
I am lumping that in with the Mahomes rules.
You're
comments
right. You're
Antonio
right.
Pierce. So, yes, he didn't have anything to do with the Kermit the Frog thing, but he did. Go on a podcast and talk about Mahomes rules and how the Pistons roughed up Michael Jordan. And all of that has been lumped together this week in Kansas City.
Soren Petro, WHB, as we get ready for Chiefs and Raiders at Allegiant on Sunday. Who do you think is the main stoker of the flame to get Patrick Mahomes worked up? Is it Brittany or is it Taylor Swift? Like, who really rides him and is like, I'm here. And he's just like, it has to be one of them.
Has to be one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Come on, Steve. I expected better from you. I expected more like, hey, is it going to be tough in November with Brittany and Taylor on different sides of the political fence? Are they at each other's throat? I mean, come on. That's where I thought you would go. I knew we would go here sometime.
Yes. Always.
I just thought it might be a more tactful approach from you, Steve.
No, when you go high, I go really low. Really, 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 really low. Okay. I'm glad you brought up the Mahomes rules because I've been talking about something all week here leading up to the game. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs have, I'm not going to say they have the referees wrapped around their fingers, but I think there's a perception that if you touch Mahomes, you are dead meat and the flags are flying. And it showed last week when he goes to the sidelines, if someone doesn't break him in half, I mean, how many times does he have to do it? And then this thing with the reach out with the arm, snap the arm, let's go. Let's play football here.
Couple things. One, we do embrace here in Kansas City how the Chiefs have become the Patriots and Patrick Mahomes has become Tom Brady. We are hated by everybody we know. I told people when we're everyone's darlings in Kansas City, love you Chiefs fans, love Patrick Mahomes, love the Chiefs, anything but the Patriots. I'm like, trust me, if he wins two or three, it'll be real different. And when they started getting upset because analysts, you know, Bart, the old linebacker for the Ravens and Jets, what's his name? Bart Scott. Yeah, Bart Scott had a comment, you know, that after the Chiefs had won in 2019 at the Super Bowl, he was still saying, or going into the Super Bowl, that the Ravens are still a better team, right? And that upset Chiefs fans. I'm like, listen, this is what it's going to be. People are going to find ways to tell you. Just wear your black hat, roll into town, take their women, drink their whiskey, and leave them losers on the way out. That's how you have that mindset. That's going to be the mindset of the fans when they head to Vegas. To your point specifically about Patrick Mahomes, you know, on the Chiefs, everyone says the Chiefs get all the calls. You know who the most penalized player, offensive player in the NFL was last year? Juwan Taylor. Do you know who the most penalized defensive player in the NFL was last year? Legarius Sneed. Yet somehow the Kansas City Chiefs get all the calls, you know? And if you look at the video of that play, I do get it. It is all quarterbacks. It's sensitive on when you hit them. And maybe even that play is part of the reason why Sam Darnold got his neck yanked around and no call because they're like, oh, we're treating these quarterbacks too kind. And so last night on Thursday Night Football, you know, a face mask drags him down to wrap the game up with a safety and nobody seemingly sees the face mask. Patrick Mahomes is slowing up. And Kareem Hunt is blocking the guy he cuts back on the inside of. So he did not run full speed to the sidelines. He begins to slow up, and nobody who's going out of bounds slows up. So if somebody starts slowing up, going to the sideline, then wreck them. But he has such a feel, a spatial awareness like no one else. You see it, obviously, in the passing, the throwing, but he has it when he runs as well. He almost always gets to the first down marker when he takes off running. He knows when he can and can't go. He's just, it's what makes it, I know, so frustrating if you're not a Chiefs fan to watch how successful he is at playing the game of football.
How is this team 6-0 with so many offensive weapons lost along the way?
17 touchdowns and 23 INTs is what Patrick Mahomes is on pace for this year. Yet here they sit at 6-0. I think last week's game against the 49ers is a great one. He had his career low in passer rating at 44. Yet his QBR, which I think is a much better statistic, was over 80. And if you watch the whole game, if you don't just watch the highlights, first of all, his interceptions. One was batted at the line of scrimmage up into the air. Defensive lineman gets it. The other one, his receiver fell down. You know, they were not bad INTs. And I think there's been a little bit of where Patrick Mahomes was probably a little bit on the lucky side. I was trying to figure out, could you quantify? You know, they say, I think 51%, only 49% of interceptable balls are intercepted. So every quarterback gets away with bad throws, right? It's about a 50-50 coin flip. He seemed to be more like 70-30. He got away with it. And maybe some of it's just he's catching up. He's been due for some bad interceptions. But he has not played as well. And I think, you know, his protection, his tackles are a question mark. That's why if Max Crosby can play, there's a reason to hope. Juwan Taylor's been okay on the right side. They've had problems on the left side with the two youngsters. Made a switch, obviously, partway through, going from Kingsley Suamadia to Wanya Morris. And so they can be had out there at the tackles. And so he has to take off running. Sometimes he kind of has ghost, you know, pressure and takes off running when maybe the pocket is still okay. And he hasn't been setting his feet. He's been throwing, you know, he throws well off the run, but he's been kind of running forward. And then, oh yeah, here's a guy. I'm going to flip it. He hasn't played as well, but when it counts, when it's money time, he's been there every time. And I think the other side is you give a lot of credit to the defense You give a lot of credit to the interior offensive line and the running game. They're playing a different style. They're playing more Bill Parcells 1990 Giants football. He remembers from last year, and the wake-up call came against the Raiders, that it's okay to punt and let what last year ended up being the number two defense, points and yards in the NFL, it's okay to put them back out on the field. And he's embraced that more this year. And so, you know, the stats aren't there. He's not putting up the gaudy statistics, but he is still winning in a ruthless fashion the same way Tom Brady would. Whatever it takes to win, he is now. And I think it's a testament to Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid throws up in his mouth when he calls, like, the fourth run in a row. Like, I don't think he likes making that call. I think you can kind of see him, like a little bit of the bile in the back of his throat. I don't think Patrick Mahomes likes, you know, checking down and handing off as many times as he does. But it's a testament that both of them recognize this is what we need to do right now to be the best version of ourselves.
And I'm so glad you pivoted into Andy Reid, because I also believe they're 6-0 because they have the greatest coach in the history of the National Football League and one of the best coach GM combos ever. And yes, I said it. You mentioned Belichick. Andy Reid, right now, I don't think is considered the best coach in NFL history. He will go down as that, because he's not going to win as many Super Bowls possibly, but Belichick never had a second act. There won't be a second act. Now he's a big pansy complaining about, you know, Gerard Mayo hurting his feelings. It's not going to happen. Andy Reid has done it.
Andy Reid has done it, and I've put a number of different things. I've tweeted it out. I've written things for our website and stuff. And, you know, Bill Belichick without Tom Brady is a bad coach. After Tom Brady and before Tom Brady, he didn't win with Drew Bledsoe his first year in New England. He had one playoff appearance. I think one playoff win in Cleveland. And everybody wanted to say, well, it's because the Browns were moving. And that was a great narrative and looked right when he was winning everything with Tom Brady and the Patriots. But as soon as Tom Brady was gone, it fell apart. And so I don't think you can say, well, they were bad at the end with the Browns because they were moving. I think he has a lot of things he does well. I think he's an incredible defensive coordinator. I think he has a lot of great. There's no doubt he is a great head coach. But Andy Reid won. He won with Donovan McNabb, who fell off a cliff when he left. And by the way, everyone's like, well, he was old. He was 32. He was 32 when he went to Washington and played for Mike Shanahan, who was a two-time Super Bowl champion. And then he was like 33 when he went to the Minnesota Vikings, and he was terrible in those times. Yet with Andy Reid, he was the first quarterback ever to throw for more than 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions in a season. He went to four conference championship games. He played in a Super Bowl and stayed with the Patriots within a score. Like, Andy Reid's record without Patrick Mahomes, with Alex Smith, with Mike Vick, with Coy Detmer, with, you know, Donovan McNabb, that is the proof in the pudding as to why the statement you made is absolutely true. He is the best head coach in the history of the NFL because he's done it when he had the Hall of Famer and he did it when he didn't.
So Ryan Petro, WHB in Kansas City, breaking down the Chiefs side of things, Chiefs Raiders on Sunday at Allegiant Stadium. And then the problem on the side with the Raiders, and we're going through this, you knew it was going to be a shaky deal unless one of these quarterbacks excelled, but they just don't have the ability. Now Akon is hurt. Minshew's making more mistakes than ever. You throw on top of that Antonio Pierce in terms of the coaching matchup. I mean, he looks like he's a bottom seven quarter or coach in the National Football League. But you're always very respectful of the Raiders. So give me the case where the Raiders can do something that's dangerous. Is it Brock Bowers, 21 catches for 340 yards?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. One, the Chiefs are vulnerable to the tight end. They've given up a ton of yardage to the tight end. Likely Burnham in the first game. I mean, tight ends galore. George Kittle really had a day with Justin Reid last week. And I think the other thing that's being very underplayed, a lot of conversation about the wide receivers. Yes, they're getting DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know how much he'll be able to contribute in this game. I think he's going to play, but I don't know how much he'll be able to contribute. But their offense is limited. Xavier Worthy, we don't know what he's going to be, but they haven't quite gotten sync. They had one big play over the top, but they missed a big play against the 49ers. Travis Kelce is clearly getting old. There's no way around it. We're too far into the season to act like it's just a slow start or it's what the defenses are doing. He's getting old. It happens. They're vulnerable at the tackle position. Now, nobody minimizes their weaknesses better than the best coach in football history. Like we said, Andy Reid does a great job of chipping and helping and doing things to help. And Patrick Mahomes' pocket awareness is great. And Patrick Mahomes, you can have a bad game plan and he can still rescue you. What's not getting talked about enough is Jalen Watson going down for the Kansas City Chiefs, because it's not just that Jalen Watson, their number two corner, went down. It's that it's Jalen Watson was already replacing Legarius Sneed from last year. So they're down Legarius Sneed, and Watson was probably 85, 90% of L'Jarius Sneed. He wasn't as good. He's not quite as diverse as L'Jarius Sneed, but he's played really well. And then Trent McDuffie got even better. Well, now you take him off the field and you're going to Nazi Johnson and Josh Williams and Roland Harrison. Yeah, I can't even remember the guy's name, who got his first career interception last week for the Chiefs, who was an undrafted rookie that they're turning to now. Chris Roland Wallace, you know, it's a big drop down. So like they had done a great job of really not adding anybody to the mix and making up for losing L'Jarius Sneed. But now they've got to make up for losing Jalen Watson. And that is big. Steve Spagnuolo is great. Dave Merritt, their secondary coach, I'm convinced will be a defensive coordinator next year. He is outstanding. But that's where, if they can get any kind of quarterback play, any kind of production from the wideouts, yes, you can beat the Chiefs with the tight end, and then they're going to be down, and it's going to be their first game without a guy who's been a very good number two corner for the Chiefs.
Last one, we anticipate, 5,000, 10,000? Could it be more Chiefs fans actually traveling to Vegas and invading Allegiant?
More. I think it'll be more. They added extra flights, and those flights are going for the airlines know people are coming. I think it was $1,400 for a ticket to get out to Vegas because of how many people were coming. I mean, listen, this is the tough spot. You know it, man. No matter what team plays in Vegas, it's everybody's road trip. Everybody's going to go. And so, and then the Chiefs are becoming like the Steelers, the Packers, the Cowboys, one of those teams that has a national following. And it's been a few years since, you know, people that were 16 and needed a team are now 22, 23 and able to drive or fly in from other parts when they adopted Patrick Mahomes because their local team sucked. Like, you know, everybody in Jersey except you that decided they were Cowboy fans that are our age. You know, we know those types. We know a few of them personally because they weren't going to root for the hometown team because they sucked. And so, yes, I think there will be a red wave in Allegiant on Sunday.
God almighty. I wish I could get a hold of the PA and lead the crowd in a chant of just, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here, and try to get Mahomes worked up. But unfortunately, the Chiefs fans are probably going to take over. A lot of the Raiders fans, a lot of the ticket buyers, the PSL buyers, are not Raiders fans. So when the season goes off the rails.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Down the stretch here on Cofield and Company, live from Allegiant Stadium and, of course, at Treasure Island. You want to watch your college football tonight, tomorrow, and NFL on Sunday at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Kenny White is with us, kennywhitesports.com. We've got a ton of college football to get to on Saturday, but especially a big Friday night. First of all, how you doing, buddy?
Steve, I'm doing great. This time of year, this is the busiest month by far. with keeping up with college football, NFL, and then trying to get ready for college basketball season. Plus I did the NHL and the NBA. Luckily baseball, there's not much to do there, but
yeah,
this is a busy month.
Woo! Yeah. Runner Rebels open up two Mondays from now. So we'll get to some college basketball in a couple weeks, but the Rebel football team is at Allegiant, arguably outside of the Mountain West Conference championship game a year ago. This is the biggest game in program history. Record size crowd is expected. Boise's bringing probably 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 people into the stadium. I thought this line was a little bit short when it was set. When you crunch the numbers, what do you have on Boise and UNLV?
With these two teams, I have close to being pretty equal teams. I do have Boise 4 points better.
Okay.
So 116.5, that's 16.5 points better than the average college football team. But I have UNLV a 112. They just continue to improve under Barry Odom. They get better and better. And their defense, I have ranked higher than Boise State's. So that gives me a little edge. I always loved it. If I can get the underdog with the better defense, that's always a good play. But giving 3 points home field for UNLV in this game tonight, I have Boise State a 1-point favorite. So I'm on the Rebels. I took the 3.5.
There you go. Kenny White's with us, kennywhitesports.com. Down the road in L.A., amongst all these big events tonight, USC is in a game. They got to start winning some games here. They got to turn things around. Rutgers comes in kind of limping into the game off of a butt kicking against Wisconsin. Do you want to take the 14 points with the Scarlet Knights, or do you think USC rolls?
I'm leaning to the Scarlet Knights here because this is uncharted territory for USC. Three-game losing streak and 1-4 in the conference. The only thing left for USC is a bowl game now. That's all they're playing for, basically. So can they rally the troops? I don't know. There was a big drop off at quarterback this year. Caleb Williams, to Miller Moss. Moss was the understudy for Williams for 2 years and got a little playing time last year, but his stats are very, very average. And so you got an average quarterback there. Yeah, you're right. The Scarlet Knights, they've lost three in a row, but good competition, Nebraska, Wisconsin, and UCLA. So both teams have played tough schedules. USC's played the number one toughest schedule in the entire country. So good reason why, you know, they haven't lived up to expectations, what they normally would live up to. But I like the total better, Steve, because Greg Schiano is going to run the football. They're going to run the clock, and they're going to try to shorten this game to give themselves a chance to win. And I like that style of play. He's also been very good under in his road games. 17-7 Schiano is on the road under since he returned to Rutgers.
Saturday games, North Texas catching 7.5 at home, total 69.
Off the board games, which I really love. This is a North Texas team who I think is going to get better every year under Eric Morris, as long as he doesn't get a better job, which he could. He was a wide receiver in college at Texas Tech, played in the Canadian Football League. He's an inside slot receiver, one of those small guys that runs great routes, he blocks, and he's got great hands. But as a coach, he's kind of the same way. You know, he's kind of like PJ Fleck type, that he's a tough guy. His players love him. He's got coaching experience at Incarnate Word, where he did really well there for 4 years. This is his second year at the program. They went 5-7 last year. They're 5-2 already this year. One win away from bowl eligibility, and we're getting 7.5 tonight. The quarterback for Tulane, their head coach, John Summerall, first year there, he elected to start a redshirt freshman in Darian Mensah, which I thought was the second stringer easily by far. I had Ty Thompson 5 points better. But he gave Mensah the job, figured he was going to build the program around this kid. Redshirt freshman, he's really struggled on the road. His home stats are tremendous. His road stats are very, very below average. So I think he struggles again in this game. And North Texas can score. Their quarterback, Chandler Morris, was at TCU for 3 years. He's got 23 touchdown passes already this year. North Texas can put points on the board. I think the last team that scores wins the game, and we're getting 7.5.
What do we want to do in kind of a mid-level SEC game with Kentucky laying 1.5 against Auburn?
Yeah, kind of bottom level right now with these two. Auburn 0-4 in the SEC, Kentucky 1-4. But Kentucky's got two signature games that I absolutely love. The Georgia game, where they lost by one at home, and then beating Mississippi on the road. That's just amazing job by Mark Stoops. And I think he's the better coach. I have Kentucky the better offensive team, the far better defensive team. I still have the Wildcats, the 13th best defense in college football, and they gave up a big number to Florida last week because the offense put them in some bad situations. That doesn't happen at home for Mark Stoops and the Wildcats. So better coach, better offense, better defense, and laying less than a field goal in a game that I made close to a touchdown. Those are some of my best bets. I love Kentucky on Saturday.
Kenny White, KennyWhiteSports.com. On Cofield and Company, is right around the corner is the Ted Weans pregame show, getting ready for Boise State in town against your Rebels. Mountain West Conference action. Man, this is a different Wyoming program without Craig Bohl. It's been a struggle this year. Utah State goes into Laramie, and the Aggies are laying a 1.5.
Yeah, Bowles was really a good one because he was the architect of North Dakota State. He's the guy that won all the championships there. And then Chris Klieman took over for him and continued the program success, and he parlayed that into the job at Kansas State. But Bowman got up there in age 66, 67, I believe he was. He retired after last season, and he had a tough time there. Wyoming's a tough place to recruit to, but the job was handed to his defensive coordinator who'd been with him for 4 years. So I really feel like there's going to be a lot of the same similarities. They started slow this year, but they've improved the last 3 weeks. Now, Utah State went through a coaching change. Blake Anderson, basically, he retired. They gave the job to their defensive coordinator. The problem is they can't stop anybody. They've given up so many points this year, Utah State. I have a higher power rating on Wyoming. It's a tough place to travel to, and I think they're playing much better football. They have the far better defense. So I small price. I took 1.5 with Wyoming.
What do you want to do with one of the big games with Texas A&M at home? Having a really solid season, great defensive coach in Elko. They're laying a point against LSU, maybe not so great on defense, but Brian Kelly's team can score, so they're the dog going into this one.
Yeah, that's, I think the key is Brian Kelly's teams, they love to throw it as much as anybody in the country. They've been playing a little bit up-tempo. The quarterback for Texas A&M, I think it was Craigman?
Wigman.
He's been back and he's been much, much better. The offense has started to click a little bit there. I did make this total much, much higher. I like the offensive pieces that Texas A&M has. You mentioned Elko. He is a defensive coach and he built Duke up as a defensive guy. But this Texas A&M team can score points in LSU. That's what they're built to do. So I went over the total there.
Penn State and Wisconsin is a very interesting spot. I feel like Wisconsin is trending up, maybe not all they want to be offensively. What do you think of this one?
I like the dog here. I'm a big Luke Fickell fan. A tremendous job at Cincinnati. And now in his second year with Wisconsin, I lost against Bama, but Bama was really playing well then. And I think Wisconsin's really learning themselves. And now they know who their quarterback is. Tyler Van Dyke is out. Their starter from last year is now the entrenched as the guy. But Luke Fickell continues to build this program. I only made Penn State 4. My total 54.5 is a lot higher than the market because Wisconsin has been good on offense. But this program is built by their defense, great home field. Penn State has been traveling quite a bit, and they've kind of underachieved, I feel like, the last couple of weeks. They're flirting with disaster, and this is a bad spot to be flirting with disaster. Luke Fickell's too good of a head coach. I think his team's in the game the entire way and has a chance to win straight up.
This is going to sound crazy. In our last college football spot with Kenny White here on Cofield and Company, we're heading towards the Ted Weins pregame show with Boise and UNLV right here at Allegiant Stadium. Even though they're number one, Oregon, I feel like Oregon from some handicappers is getting disrespected, and I also feel like Illinois might be a little overplayed here. Are you on the Illinois side plus the 21 plus?
No, I didn't play the game, but I do. You know, I've loved what I've seen from Brett Bielema at Illinois, trying to look at find that game and let you know what I made that
game. 211, 212, and it's 21.5, and the total's 54.5.
Oh, yeah, right at the end of the board. Yeah, two good head coaches. I made this game 19, Steve. Made the total 59.5, and a lot of that has to do, obviously, with Oregon and their high-flying offense. They're only scoring 34.5 points a game, but they're doing a much better job of moving between the 20s. When they start cashing in on all of those drives, I think you're going to see more points out of Oregon this year. So my number leans to the over. The trends kind of lean to the under. Bielema, obviously, we know what we're going to get from him. Two tight end sets, run the football, run the clock. But Oregon will play fast, and they should have the lead most of this game, forcing Illinois into playing that type of a track meet game. So I'm on the over there.
Kenny White is with us. Let's go to the NFL. Ravens, Browns. Are the Browns plucky now without Deshaun Watson? Do you want to take the 9?
Yeah, you know, I talk about the NFL and the way they do it now in preseason, none of the starters play in any of these teams. Very few play. So these guys aren't in shape in game 1 and 2. They're in shape. They're not in midseason form. And it takes these teams 2 or 3 games to get in midseason form. When the Browns decided to use DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, as the number 2 guy last week, and Jameis Winston as their emergency, I thought they must really feel that DTR is the better quarterback. I had Winston the better quarterback. So I averaged their ratings together, and together they're a below average NFL quarterback. So there's a drop-off. Even as bad as Watson played, we're getting a drop-off, and we're getting a guy that's nowhere near midseason form, where that's where the Ravens are. They're the best offense in football. They're clicking on all cylinders. This is two organizations, I think, going in opposite directions right now. So love it over, because I know that Cleveland's going to try to get pass heavy with Ken Dorsey, now an offensive coordinator as well, which that does not bode well going against Baltimore.
I'm curious to see where you have the Atlanta Falcons power rated, because I know you're big into the power ratings. Falcons in the spot this weekend are 2.5-point favorites on the road against the Bucs.
Yeah, amazing. You know, the Falcons, Steve, were one of my teams. I have a lot of tickets on the Falcons to win the division and to even win the NFC. I love the defense. I love the additions that they brought in for the defense in preseason. And then I think Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. They needed some time to get some continuity, and it still looks like they need some time. They need to run the ball more. They're throwing it way too much, and they're playing too fast. They need to get more efficient, slow down a little bit, and use those two great running backs, because Tyler Algier is outstanding. Bijan Robinson, one of the best in the game. If they start leaning on that running game, that's going to make Kirk Cousins really dangerous, and then that defense will get some rest, and they'll be able to show the world how good they are defensively. But I think the world has caught up to them a little bit, where I've dropped their rating a little, and I'm at number 11 now. I started the year with them, I think, number 6 or 7. I had them in my top 10, but they have underperformed, underachieved in my mind, in my numbers, and what I'm looking at. So number 11, I only made them a one-point favorite this week in their game. So I don't have a bet against them. I more lean against them, which is kind of surprising because I was so high on them.
Another perplexing game as Cincinnati tries to fight back to relevancy. They're almost there. They're 3-4. The perplexing side for me is the Eagles. And while the numbers on the scoreboard look good at the end of the game with Philly, I can't figure out what the hell's going on with their offense. Now, the run game was great last week, but they can't win a championship without really being able to throw the ball. So what do you have in this one? The Eagles are on the road against Cincy plus 2.5.
They have all the talent in the world to be one of the best offensive teams in the game. As long as Smith and Brown are both on the field at wide receiver and they're healthy, they're going to score points, because now they bring in Barkley. They just got more dangerous offensively, but they still, you're right, haven't clicked on all cylinders. I have their defense rated well below average. This is a game I made Philadelphia 1.5 and 56. I believe there's going to be a lot of points scored this football game. I think you'll see that offense take off. But again, it's the defense that worries me more than the offense does. So that's why I really like the over. We know Burrow's going to put points on the board. But, yeah, I went over 47.5. There's 48s out there. Still a big difference from my number.
Last one. Another game here at Allegiant in a couple of days. They'll switch out the UNLV field and bring in the new tray. The grass tray at the Owl for the Raiders. Boy, oh boy, I know you don't like to lay 10, but the Raiders situation is real dicey right now. And yet, the Chiefs haven't blown anyone out. Their biggest win is by 13. They've been in, 4 1-score games. Are the Chiefs going to come in and just hammer the Raiders and cover 10?
You know, everything's about motivation. Are the Chiefs motivated? They just played the 49ers, who they knew – you know, had that Super Bowl revenge. They knew that was a big game, and they played outstanding. You're right. They haven't blown anybody out, and they have the best team in the NFL, no doubt. Offensive defense, when you got Patrick Mahomes, you're the best. But I don't trust them, but I don't trust the Raiders either. So I made the game 9.5 and 43.5, but it's a stay away from me. I'll just watch that game, but looking forward to the Rebels tonight.
There you go. Should be a fun football weekend here in Las Vegas. Kenny, I hope you have a winning weekend. I hope all your clients win as well. Win big. Win big. And we appreciate the time, buddy.
Win big. Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on the show. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the game tonight.
There he is, Kenny White, here on Cofield & Company. We wrap it up in just a little bit. We're going to pop on the Ted Wiens pregame show, UNLV pregame show. Boise State's in town, the king of the conference, and tight spread here. You heard all the opinions this week, and we'll get more of them from Caleb Herring and Matt Neverett. Also, plenty of good interviews during the Ted Wiens pregame show. Thanks to Treasure Island for housing the show today. Danny Smythe at the set at Treasure Island. You want to get in there tonight to watch the Rebels, great happy hour specials. The Loco Mocos are dynamite. Chicken salad sandwich, that's Greg Salerno's favorite. And, of course, tomorrow, Danny is back with Jared for the award-winning Throw the Flag show. Get you ready for the college football day as they are on from 9 to 11 at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Free parking always. Free self-parking on the Strip. They still have it.